Hello again, it's Paul Spooner, here on a delightful morning, and a more relaxed... No, actually, it's not more relaxed. There's no point in speaking. I'm not going to speak like I mean it. I was thinking this morning about how fear is the friend of the Christian. Not that we should induce fear, but that we love love. We love God. God is love. Love is our friend. Someone who also loves God is also our friend. We can't go wrong loving someone who loves God. They're our allies. And Jesus even said this. He's like, hey, you know, if they're not against us, they're for us. And if they're not for us, they're against us. There's only two sides. One side is love. Another interesting statement, that perfect love drives out all fear. So anyone who is afraid is not made perfect in love, which makes it a very useful sign for us. Anyone who's scared is not perfectly our ally. Now, of course, there are shades of gray in there, but the point is that if anyone is afraid of something, if anyone is in terror of something, then we can question whether or not that person is of God, with good reason, because if perfect love drives out all fear, then they can't be made perfect in love at this point if they are in fear. It gives us a sign of the people that are not perfect. Not that there's anything wrong with not being perfect. We're all not perfect in some way, and I have my own fears. I fear death. I fear failure. I fear rejection. I fear all kinds of things. But to the extent that I can, I try to quell those fears. I try to keep those fears out with love, with the assurance that God rules all. I'm just kind of intrigued with this in mind, that there are so many fearful antagonists of Christianity. And you see it all over the place. Once you start seeing it in these terms, it's just everywhere. These people are like, oh no, you know, the Christians are going to try to get us to stop thinking, and you know, it's going to be terrible, and you know, it's like, man, you know, you're not afraid of us, you're just afraid, and we are the ones that you see who are not afraid. And so people who are afraid think that the people who are not afraid have something over them. So wrong-headed. Like, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid of anything. And as I grow more perfect in love, I find this more and more true, that anyone who is our enemy is by necessity fearful, just overwhelmed with it. Because in order to be the enemy of love, you must reject the possibility that there's anything worth loving, that there's anything in the world that could possibly redeem you from your faults, because everyone has faults, and to deny that you have faults is madness, and to say that your faults are acceptable is injustice, and both these things will destroy a person's mind. So a Christian, a true follower of God, will be able to say with the angels, fear not. And it's wonderful, because if anyone does attack you as a Christian, I mean, and certainly they can attack you for other reasons. Maybe you're also an asshole, and I'm an asshole, so I know about this. You can be a Christian and suffer for your own idiocy or your own cruelty. But that aside, if they attack you as a Christian, then you immediately know that you're dealing with someone who's incredibly insecure, who's incredibly fearful. And that's a huge insight into their psyche, to be able to relate to them. A huge part of that is, oh, this person is terrified. Probably for their whole life they've been terrified. And maybe I'm the only person that they've found who's not terrified, and they are terrified by that, because they're terrified by everything. It's not you, it's God. They're afraid of God. And that's a wise thing to be. It is incredibly wise to be afraid of God. But we don't have to be. God is love, and perfect love drives out all fear. We will grow out of that. As we mature, we grow out of the terror, even though the terror is justified. And if you're not a Christian, just be aware that being afraid of Christians does not somehow validate your opinion. I see a lot of people who are like, oh, I'm afraid of this person and therefore they must be evil. And, well, no, you can be afraid of someone for completely insane reasons. And if you're going to be afraid of anyone, I would suggest you. Now, of course, you can point to examples in history and say, oh, well, Christians are evil too, and they do all these horrible things, and we should be afraid of any kind of religious absolutism or whatever it is you have to say. But if you're not a Christian and you find yourself dealing with a Christian or with anyone, I'm speaking specifically Christians because I know about our doctrine and our mindset, being afraid and fear is not a lever you can use. Christians are renowned historically for their lack of fear of death. And what are you going to hold over someone's head that's worse than death? I would advise you, certainly talk to Christians, but don't, to the extent that it is possible for you, and I know it's going to be hard, don't be afraid of Christians, because that's not going to, it's not going to help either of you. It's not going to help the Christian, because they're going to see it as, oh, well, this person clearly thinks that they're my enemy because they're afraid. And it's not going to help you, because ultimately, if someone is worthy of fear, then you should act like they are trustworthy. This shows that you respect them enough to believe that their opinion's value is worth more than your own. If you're afraid of something, it means that you think that thing is more powerful than you, and that is out to get you. Oh my goodness, this is really cool. There's a giant drilling site on the side of the road here. I was just looking out, and there's these huge, tall machines. Okay, so machines. People are afraid of machines, and machines are a concentration of energy and craftsmanship into something. But it's for a purpose. A machine is always built for a reason. And I would put this back into the evidence that humanity was built for a reason, but that's beside the point. So there's these big machines on the side of the road, and they're black, and they're covered in grime, and they're tall and jagged, and they've got stuff sticking out of them, they've got these long cables, and they're loud, and they've got these huge bases, and they're just billowing out smoke, and it's like, oh, this is a scary thing, a terrifying thing, a thing to be fearful of. But if you really love God, then you will love what God has made. And God has made, among other things, mankind, but also physics and the fundamental laws of the universe on which machines operate. So a machine is a testament to God's trustworthiness, that someone can spend time and effort working on not only discovering the rules, but building a machine that exploits the rules, and lo and behold, it works, because God hasn't changed the rules on you. And I think the same thing about roads and infrastructure and power lines. Thank God for power lines. God built power lines. God built them because he built the laws that made power lines make sense. And it's only reasonable for someone to construct a power line, or a road, or a water aqueduct, or a highway, or a railway, or any other kind of infrastructure, any other kind of machine. It's a testament to God's trustworthiness, first of all, because he doesn't change the rules on us, and also his foresight that he would make laws of the universe in such a way that they can be utilized in this way, that they can be employed by us for the betterment of everyone. So I think it's great. So the big scary machines on the side of the road, I love them. I think they're awesome. I think they're not necessarily beautiful. A lot of times machines are built with a kind of slapdash carelessness that you don't see in a lot of other disciplines. I'm not sure why that is. Maybe it's because they're consumable. Maybe it's because they're supposed to be purely utilitarian, but they should be beautiful as well. Even if they're not beautiful, they are beautiful in the sense that they're testament to excellence. Both human excellence and inhuman excellence. I've got to go. I'm going to arrive at work pretty soon here. Allow me to sing you out. This has been Paul Spooner on the Paul Spooner Podcast.
Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.